Well, we do it very nicely here, don't we?
That's right.
Don't we, Eleanor?
Soon enough, it'll be get out now.
Yes, we do, Chris.
Okay,
we do.
We're off.
Me and my. It's more of a club foot than an iron foot, I think.
Hey, you guys, there's a pineapple here. Just in case you didn't notice.
Just in case we hadn't noticed.
The joint winners of the inaugural 2024 Radio Roland Garros favourite fruit competition.
Sophie's favourite competition.
Oh, boy, am I done with that fruit competition?
It's your enthusiasm that makes you warm to you, Sophie.
I'm exhausted. I've seen fruit all day yesterday. I'm getting people who don't even, you know, sending me texts from the US saying, oh, I would be such and such fruit if I was a fruit. I'm like, send it to Radio Roland Garros, not me personally.
Are you saying that you did not like Andre Rubablev? And the other fruit-based tennis names.
Andre Rubablev?
Yeah, Rubablev.
Or Rhubarb.
Yeah.
Just a quick update
Madison
before we
Pease?
Go.
Madison
Pease? Yes. Madison who?
Just a quick update
Madison
before
what?
We go. Sophie,
I think
we're
this
watching
might be some
the,
news.
The new world number one here.
It is the new world number
Novak
one, you're
pulled
right,
out.
That Novak is out. You're right
Yannick
about that.
Is guaranteed to go what number one.
What was Madison Pease's nickname?
Madison Pease.
But that's not a fruit.
Fruit and vegetable. We extended
it. Oh, now
it
you extend it. Oh, no, well, God forbid. Please
can I just
don't
point,
you start on the vegetables.
Can I just point out, Sophie, it was a very long match last night.
We had quite a few of those at this tournament.
Yes, really.
Yes. So the new number one. He doesn't know it yet, does he?
No,
it's
not.
A strange situation, isn't it? Everybody.
Yes. Somebody's
going to lots of people on Court Philippe Chatrier who'll be looking on social media and following news. Second screening, if you like, will know. Our listeners know. Well, the news outlets around the world will know. But the man who actually is
due to be world number one on Monday
is the last man to know.
But he's going to know it when the interview comes and they're going to ask him, hey, by the way, you're the new number one player. And everybody's going to go irate on this court. Well, the Italian will.
Well.
Okay, time to go. Au revoir.
Yes. Au revoir, Sophie.
Au revoir. Yes. I mean, it's so affirmative. Yes.
Okay, time to go.
Goodbye.
Yes. You know where you are with Chris Bowers.
Well, you're
the one who said yes. Isn't that him?
Sinner at 30 love. By the way, there's some tennis going on. Serves to the backhand of Dimitrov into the net with the backhand. Sophie's just throwing her magazine at me. I have this effect on people.
It's the fact that she was looking at it on a laptop that must have hurt.
I say yes, and they throw their magazines at me. 40 love, Sinner.
You're not allowed to start talking when I, you know, to my back. You either talk to me right here and I can answer, but not when I leave. That is so unfair. Au revoir again.
Au revoir again, Sophie. It's been wonderful to have you here. Delightful to have your company. Sinner has held serve for 4-all. And changes his racket because the balls are being changed now. Are they being changed now or are they being changed next game? 10, 18, 26. They're being no changed last game. Do my
very
maths.
Impressive maths, well, Chris. Much better than mine at this point. Or indeed at any point, actually.
Dimitrov at 4-all, serves down the middle, backhand return, lofted, sits up for Dimitrov. He'll go into out with a forehand. I saw that was going to happen before he even hit it. So why did Sinner go to his forehand win? Dimitrov always goes into out with those high balls. Probably been watching Dimitrov more than Sinner has. 15 love. Dimitrov will serve out down the centre, forehand return. Just too long. Even if Dimitrov were to win this set and were to win the fourth set, we would not be in danger of being late for the night session because there are still 3 hours and 20 minutes to go. And somehow I don't think he's going to win this third set. He's hanging in there, as Sophie said a few minutes ago. He's just double faulted.
Obviously, he's a player who we know he fights. We've seen him fight already this week, haven't we, Dimitrov? Had to battle his way through to get here, and that will both give him some self-belief, but it will also mean that the legs will be a little bit heavier than they might normally be.
It's his backhand up the backhand of Sinner, backhand to backhand at the moment. Good top spin on that one from Dimitrov. He'll go up the line now, but Sinner has read this one. Goes to the forehand of Dimitrov. Dimitrov is long on his forehand, and he's in a bit of trouble now at 15-30.
And this is not the point of the match where you want to find yourself in trouble. Two sets down. Trying to serve to keep your nose in front.
I will say that having done Dimitrov on Saturday night, followed by Musetti playing Djokovic, there is a lot less bite on Dimitrov's shots, both the slice backhand and the aggressive backhand, than there is on Musetti's. 15-30. Dimitrov serves down the middle, too long. Second serve.
Yes, the backhand's easy on the eye, but it sometimes looks as though it's a shot from a slightly different era.
Yes. Backhand return from Sinner. Forehand from Dimitrov. Sinner makes good ground to his forehand. Backhand Dimitrov. Forehand Sinner. Dimitrov with his forehand is gone long by a good metre. And he's in real trouble now at 4-all, 15-40.
And the crowd just trying to will him on. They'd like to see more tennis. And Dimitrov also is always a very, very popular player, isn't he?
Partly because of the way he plays.
The way he plays, and people here love their tennis, they appreciate their tennis. Also, he has a genial, outgoing warmth about him, which I think comes across in his fan and media interactions.
Two break points for Sinner. They're almost match points, the way he's been serving. Dimitrov serves down the centre, backhand return. Forehand Dimitrov is wide, he's hooked it wide, and that looked a tired forehand. And that's probably the end of the match for Dimitrov, because Sinner will be serving for a place in the semi-finals in just a minute.
Well, Gigi and I...
semi-finals, that's right. Yeah.
Gigi and I sat here a couple of nights ago and we watched Jannik Sinner look completely bewitched and bewildered. For a set and a half by Corentin Moutet, and he looked utterly lost, confounded, confused, befuddled. And Moutet was doing what Moutet does. And Sinner had no idea how to deal with it whatsoever. And then something clicked in his brain. He just started to find his own rhythm, start to get a few more serves in. And little by little, he worked his way into the match. And once he was absolutely fine. And he seems to have picked up from the end of that match with this performance today. And it's a performance worthy of really the standout player of this season.
Yes, and it'll be very interesting to see whether his next opponent is Carlos Alcaraz, because they know each other from the junior circuit. He's got a good record against Alcaraz. But Alcaraz is the better clay courter, I think.
Yes, I agree.
He's the better all-round player, full stop. Incidentally, your comment about Dimitrov saying he looks like a player from a bygone era, that I agree with that, but I would not say that the one-handed backhand has no place in today's game.
I love the one-handed backhand.
And in fact, Musetti's backhand shows, you know, as does Shapovalov's, as does still Vavrinka's.
I agree, and I think in some ways Vavrinka actually was a good role model for this younger generation of players coming through. Not that Dimitrov is especially young, but Musetti, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Sinner has hit his backhand wide. It should have been an easy put away. And there are other... I mean, there's this young Frenchman, Giovanni Mpechi-Pericard, who, 19 years old, did he win the tournament in... Yes, he did, didn't he? Just the week before Roland Garros. He's got a single-handed backhand, and he's got a really good all-court game. Very good volleyer. Exciting player to look out for. Sinner, love 15, serves the backhand of Dimitrov, chipped back. Forehand from Sinner, into out. Backhand from Dimitrov, pushing Sinner back. Forehand Dimitrov, will he come in? Lob from Sinner, put away on the volley by Dimitrov. Sinner looking down at the mark, but the ball on the approach shot was in. And so it's love 30.
I think we've jinxed him, Chris. As soon as we've arrived, he started to wobble. Must be missing Sophie.
Well, yes. He doesn't know that he's going to be world number one on Monday, and he doesn't know that Sophie's left the booth. It's amazing. The ignorance is bliss. Love 30 on the Sinner serve. Goes down the middle, back and return is lofted. It's going to land wide. It was a lunge by Grigor Dimitrov.
2 hours and 7 minutes in. A mere slip of a match in comparison to some of the other contests that we've had here.
Yes. some of which have gone way over 4 hours. 4 hours 39, Djokovic's match yesterday, which finished him off, although one assumes he asked the trainer to serve from Sinner to the backhand of Dimitrov. Sinner nets. Just getting a little tight with inside of victory. I presume that Djokovic asked the trainer, you know, might I have done some damage here? Will I do more damage by playing on?
That is usually one of the first conversations that the trainer has when they come on court. Yes. Because that, in lots of ways, is actually the most important question to ask.
Absolutely right. And that's why I would never want to, even if one got rid of injury timeouts, I would never want to get rid of the option of the consultation. Because I think if you got rid of that, you'd get people retiring out of safety reasons when maybe they don't need to. Sinner, 15-40. Dimitrov, 2 points for 5-all. That's a very deep second serve from Sinner. A good deep return from Dimitrov. Dimitrov winds up for a big forehand. Forehand from Sinner, cross court. Forehand Dimitrov. Sinner with his forehand up the backhand wing. Dimitrov slices this one. Backhand from Sinner. A slice backhand from Dimitrov to the two-hander of Sinner. Forehand Dimitrov goes back to the backhand. Sinner with a short ball. Dimitrov should take this on. He does. It's a winner. That was one of the best games he's played all match.
But it's amazing how much you can free up. When the pressure is off, you can just swing freely. Sinner, as you said, just got a little bit tight. And as he got a little bit tight, Dimitrov got a little bit looser. Now, the question remains, is this a delaying of the inevitable, or is this the start of a fight back?
I suspect the former. Simply because I think Sinner is too strong. And when you're too far ahead, when you're so far ahead, you can still swing freely. But Sinner has served for the match, and the third set is level at 5-all. Dimitrov serves down the middle too long. Second serve. Oh, wrong side of the centre line.
Very much the wrong side of the centre line.
What did Dimitrov do on grass last year? Won a couple of rounds at Queen's, if I remember rightly.
Yes, I mean, grass is a surface that he absolutely loves, of course.
He has won Queen's in the past, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, yeah. And he's also been a semi-finalist, of course, at Wimbledon.
At Wimbledon. That was 2017.
Beat Andy Murray.
Because he beat Murray
on the way.
When Murray's hip was disintegrating.
Yes, and Murray was... Yeah.
He was the defending champion at the time,
yes. Defending champion and as you
couldn't
said...
Couldn't move.
Couldn't move at all.
Forehand from Dimitrov. Really making Sinner move. Dimitrov comes to the net, puts the volley away. Who's this player that's come on to take Dimitrov's place?
Well, we had a switch in the commentary box. Maybe there was a switch down there as well.
Yeah, we didn't notice. Well, this is impressive from Dimitrov. The thing is, can he keep it up? I mean, I think he will be very happy to have reached the quarterfinals. I mean, quarterfinals, you're only seeded to meet the quarterfinals if you're top eight. He's just inside the world top. He's the top ten. He's the 10th seed, so he's just inside the top 10. And, yes, if he can pick up some points on the grass, he could be knocking on the door of the top five by the time the... American hardcourt swing starts. Backhand from Sinner. That's too good for Dimitrov. Not the greatest of approach shots. Sinner had plenty of time to wind up on his backhand. And Dimitrov at full stretch on the forehand volley couldn't do anything with it.
There was quite a lot of hope about that approach shot, wasn't there? And Sinner, as you said, too good, too ready.
The thing is, it's one of those shots where you've got to make up your mind to have the approach shot before you've hit it. And if you then underhit it, you're standing at the net thinking, uh-uh.
Yes, with a big sign saying, pass me.
Yes. Targets on both sides. The sound in the background is the flagstaffs against the masts. Dimitrov serves well and comes into the net and plays... Well, he has to play two volleys, but he's made it in the second of them. A good serve out wide to the backhand, which opened up the forehand wing of Sinner for Dimitrov. 5-all, 30-all. So still a little bit of life left in the first of the men's quarterfinals. First of the three quarterfinals. And if you've just tuned in, you'll wonder why I'm talking about three quarterfinals. There should be four, but there will only be three. Dimitrov serves, backhand return. Forehand from Dimitrov, deep to the backhand of Sinner. Sinner goes long. And that is because in the last half hour, we've had the news that Novak Djokovic went for an MRI scan on his right knee, the one he had treatment for during his match against Francisco Cerúndolo yesterday. It has revealed a small tear, and he has therefore pulled out of the tournament. The assumption is, I'm only speculating, but the assumption is that tomorrow the two women's quarters will be some Dimitrov serves, forehand return, forehand from Dimitrov to the backhand of Sinner, forehand Dimitrov into the net, that was a tame one. So they will be slightly later in the day, maybe 1 and 3, again I'm only speculating, with the men's match tomorrow in the evening.
Yes.
Which will be Zverev playing his third night session match in a row?
Yes, indeed. 2 5-setters for Zverev, including last night against Holger Rune, of course, and then in the previous round against Talon Griekspoor, who played very, very well against Zverev.
Until he got into a winning position and then got tight, as happens. Dimitrov hits a forehand into out, and Sinner's defensive backhand drifts wide. Dimitrov for the point for 6-5. Dimitrov at the president's box end. Taken the 4 or 5 balls from the ball kids, sifts through them, does his inventory, decides which two he wants. Serving. Point for 6-5. Serves out wide. Back and return. Forehand from Dimitrov to the forehand wing of Sinner. Dimitrov goes back to the forehand of Sinner. And now a slice backhand from Dimitrov. Sinner runs around his backhand, goes up the forehand wings. Dimitrov's there. Forehand Sinner cross court. Misses. And Dimitrov holds. So Dimitrov leading by 6-5. The likelihood still is that Sinner will hold and probably take the tie break, but you never know.
Boldly predicted there.
Well, I would still say there's a greater likelihood, but I'm not saying any stronger than that at the moment.
No, it's certainly a little wobble from Jannik Sinner. Overall, he's played extremely well. But as the finish line was in sight, and he's human too, happens to so many players, and against a player of Dimitrov's quality, it doesn't take much, does it?
No.
It's a little off your serve, it's a miss versus serve here. But yes, you expect him to regroup, just as he did after losing the first set against Corentin Moutet the other evening. Do keep your tweets and emails coming.
Yes, we haven't been to many of them, but at the end of this set, we will come to some of them.
You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. You can tweet us at radio_RG.
Yes, if this match finishes, then we will obviously have a bit of time. We'll be hearing from the winners of the two women's matches earlier. Come to some of your messages. A Sinner serving to stay in the third set. Sliced return. Forehand from Sinner to the backhand of Dimitrov. That's netted. He's looking to get the ball at the feet of Sinner. Net got in the way.
Just to confirm, it's a medial meniscus tear for Novak Djokovic.
Yeah. Is that the kind of thing that can heal with a little bit of treatment? Or is that one that requires arthroscopic surgery? I suspect if you need arthroscopic surgery, we'd know by now.
Yes, I think it depends how big the tear is, but it doesn't sound like a...
It's going to keep him out of Wimbledon or the Olympics.
It doesn't sound like it. I think it's about resting up, probably. Yeah. He may not get many warm-up matches before Wimbledon, but...
He seldom needs them.
He seldom needs them, and I think the big priority, obviously Wimbledon is a huge priority for Novak Djokovic, but as he's made really clear, the Olympics are the number one goal for the season. And it's been a difficult season. This is another setback for him after what's been, by his extremely high standards, a rocky road.
Yeah.
so far in 2024?
Well, he will get to the halfway point in the year, which is more than halfway in the season, not having won a tournament. Given that he's won 98 in his career, that is unusual. Sinner is at 15 all. So Dimitrov, in theory, 3 points from the set, but those would be three difficult points. Backhand return, backhand from Sinner. Dimitrov slices his backhand, just clears the net, a slice from Sinner. Dimitrov runs around his backhand, goes into out. Backhand from Sinner, forehand Dimitrov, goes again back to the Sinner backhand. Forehand Dimitrov cross court to the forehand of Sinner. Sinner mishits that one, but it goes in the court, flattened out by Dimitrov. Now Dimitrov gets a short ball, he plays a drop shot, Sinner will get there. He answers with a drop shot, Dimitrov will go back to Sinner. Sinner between his legs into the net. Got completely confused over that one. Dimitrov went at Sinner. I'm not sure whether that was intentional by Dimitrov.
Dimitrov just doubled over, taking a moment.
Yes, Dimitrov, I think he's got something in his eye, hasn't he?
Yes, he's holding up his wrist, which has a toweling wristband on it, up to his eye, as if perhaps a little bit of clay or may have hit himself in the eye by accident. Just going to watch the replay and see if we can find out what happened.
No, nothing obvious. Again, he's just slightly bent over now. I think it's just something in his eye. 15:30, Sinner serves. Too long.
Well, the breeze has just got up. As Chris mentioned, you could hear the flagpoles clattering.
Yeah, the staff's clattering against the poles as a slice from Dimitrov is deep, but just too long. I do wonder if his vision is impaired. It's hard to play tennis if you can't see particularly well.
It is, and obviously this is, you know, this is a surface which can, as we know, it gets onto people's clothes, it gets into your eyes. It can, if you get a gust of wind on a clay court, it can cause a little swirl of clay that...
He doesn't wear contacts, does he? I don't think so. I've never seen him wear glasses. I mean, Djokovic does.
Zverev does.
Serve from Sinner, defensive backhand from Dimitrov is deep. Forehand Sinner to the forehand of Dimitrov. Forehand Sinner down the backhand wing. Dimitrov slices. Sinner runs around his backhand, goes into out. Dimitrov slices again, but that's going to drift long.
Leslie said, "I feel really bad for Cirundolo, who of course was Djokovic's opponent. Probably frustrating for him, but hopefully Djokovic will heal and have a quick recovery."
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the nature of today's business. It's like Nadal beating Fritz in the Wimbledon quarterfinal 2 years ago. He must have known there was a chance he wouldn't be able to play his semi. And Djokovic sort of must have known halfway through his match yesterday, I could win this, but what shape am I going to be in 2 days' time?
But then he moved beautifully in the fifth set.
He did, absolutely. Forehand from Sinner. The forehand of Dimitrov, down the forehand wing, cross court from Sinner, down the line by Dimitrov. Sinner will play a defensive backhand. Dimitrov at the net with a drop volley. Sinner will get it. He throws up the lob. Dimitrov lets it go and it's long. Great tennis.
Wonderful all-court tennis from both players. Dimitrov, he has a lot of variety in his game and he's drawing that out of Jannik Sinner. Lots of drop shots. And the Italian, those long legs, moved in quickly about the court, but the lob, well, long in the end, and Dimitrov judged it very well, knew it was going to go long, let it go. So a chance slips away.
Sinner at deuce. 5-6, third set. He serves. Down the centre, too long. Second serve from the Italian is to the backhand of Dimitrov. That slice to the backhand of Sinner. A slice from Dimitrov again. Push to the forehand of Sinner. Slice from Dimitrov up the middle of the court. Forehand from Sinner into out. Backhand from Dimitrov netted. He went for the bigger backhand, the aggressive one. A little late on it.
Pete is listening in Sydney, Australia. Hello, Pete. It's very early there, isn't it? Great job, but can you occasionally identify yourselves? Well, I'm Chris Bowers.
And I'm Eleanor Preston.
There you go, Pete. Now you know.
Yeah. Sinner with a second point for the tiebreak. He's at the president's box end, wearing this dark orange shirt. A little bit like clay, but the clay's a little lighter.
It's almost burnt orange, isn't it?
I'd say burnt orange, yes. With navy blue shorts, same colour cap, white socks, white shoes, although they're not particularly white now. Dimitrov goes long on the backhand return of serve.
Grey shorts.
Are they grey?
I've had this conversation with Marcus and with Simon.
Right, okay.
And Gigi and I both see it as grey, and it's interesting. And I did.
Is there not a bit of blue in there?
I did. I mean, it's not nearly black. But it's definitely grey.
Okay.
And it's interesting because I did ask the question, and of course, you know how well educated and knowledgeable our listeners are. If men and women see colour differently,
but yes, apparently
not. Perhaps just in the Radio Roland Garros team.
Quite possibly. So a third set tiebreak. Dimitrov serves and the return goes long. I often wonder whether every individual sees colour differently.
Well, that was the answer that came back to us, really.
Yeah. It's sort of just one of my musings.
There's some suggestion that you see colour differently depending on what colour your own eyes are.
Okay.
It's a little non-tennis digression, but it's an interesting an interesting topic.
Sinner from the president's box end serves out wide, backhand return. Sits up for Sinner to go back behind Dimitrov. Dimitrov gets a racket to it, but can't do any more than that.
And you can see Sinner's shirt just billowing a little as he walks around the baseline and prepares to serve. Just a sign that there is a gentle breeze here.
There is.
It's not windy, but it's certainly breezier than it has been.
The flags above our commentary position are quite sort of recognisable. That's a good return from Dimitrov. And he goes up the line, cut off by Sinner. Dimitrov will get this, goes cross court, but Sinner cuts it off again.
Alert and alive to the danger was Sinner. And a little smile.
A little smile from Sinner. We don't normally see that in the middle of a match, do we?
Little smile to his team. Perhaps it's something that he's worked on with his team in practice, trying to get better at covering the net. Certainly did a great job there. And he should be very pleased with himself. He's in a very good position in this match. He will, of course, need to get the mini break here if he wants to win in straight sets.
Dimitrov serving at 1-2, backhand return, forehand Dimitrov up the middle of the court, forehand from Sinner, forehand Dimitrov pushing Sinner wide to his backhand, Sinner goes long.
And a little fist pump from Dimitrov. He's wearing a sort of a lime green top with a collar.
It's this year's Lacoste Roland Garros outfit, which is mostly around as a white shirt, royal blue shorts, and the white shirt has two green stripes on it.
And he's wearing the reverse of that.
He's wearing the reverse of that. It's mainly lime green with two white stripes across the chest. Forehand return from Sinner, forehand from Dimitrov down the backhand wing. It's a great passing shot from Sinner. He played the backhand down the line and Dimitrov was trying to ghost into the net, but he was passed.
Well, Sinner, I think, is too good to let an opportunity like that go. Again, the passing shot, just not quite enough depth on it from Dimitrov, and he allowed himself to be a sitting duck. So, the Italian, the man who will be crowned world number one on Monday when the new rankings are released, serves with the mini break.
So, it's out to the backhand of Dimitrov. Forehand from Sinner. Has he made it? He has. He pushed that forehand very, very close, but it caught the line. So 4-2, Sinner. Back within 3 points of the match. He served for it at 5-4 in the third set. But was broken, just got a bit tight. He was 15-all then. He's now 4-2 in the tiebreak.
Yes, he doesn't give much away, Sinner, as a rule, does he? He's very self-contained. You don't get many histrionics from him.
But have you seen the videos of him as a skier when he was about 10 years old? Same thing, sort of just, you know, oh, we're skiing, okay, let's get on with it. There's not much emotion there. he's sort of, but I don't think it's sort of over serious either. He's just served a wonderful serve down the tee, which Dimitrov got the tip of his racket to.
He's just quite a placid personality,
yes,
isn't he?
He
and
is.
That little smile he gave to his team when he did some rather good work was very boyish, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was as if to
yes.
say, look, look, I did it, I did it.
Yes.
Well, he's doing the business here.
Dimitrov needs these 2 points on his serve now. 2-5, third set. He serves out wide. Backhand return is going long. Dimitrov sort of stopped, and I wonder whether the serve had been called long, but he stopped because I think he saw that ball was definitely drifting long.
Well, a good serve from Dimitrov at just the right time, but he really is staring down the barrel here.
3-5, third set tiebreak. Dimitrov serving down the centre, just too long.
And is Sinner, the winner, going to be done in time for dinner?
Oh.
Copyright, Gigi Salmon.
You're a poet and didn't know it. Backhand from... it's long from Dimitrov. That was an unforced error. It was a fairly tame return from Sinner.
But it's easier than trying to rhyme something with Dimitrov.
Well, yes, quite. I'm sure Roald Dahl would have probably succeeded, but he could rhyme anything. Well, that extra applause is the standard applause you get round here when a player gets to match point. Yannick Sinner doesn't know yet that he's about to be world number one, but he is, regardless of the outcome of this match. But he's about to win this match, even though he's put his first serve on first match point out wide. Second serve is to the body, sliced by Dimitrov. Backhand from Sinner. Dimitrov slices down the line. It's long. Oh, the mark's going to be checked, but I'm pretty sure that this is going to be confirmed. Both players are walking to the net. Yes, it's confirmed. And Sinner is through to his first Roland Garros semi-final. It's been a good tournament for Dimitrov, but Sinner is the man of the moment for reasons he is about to learn, because he is through to the semis and he will be the new world number one on Monday, because Novak Djokovic in the last hour has pulled out of the tournament due to a tear in his right knee.
Well, he's the man of the moment and he's certainly the player of the year, and that number one ranking that will be his on Monday is confirmation of what in many ways we already knew: the reigning Australian Open champion, very much a contender for the title here.
Now, he's just actually being spoken to by Nicola Arzani of the ATP. I was thinking it's going to be an interesting interview because he's going to get some interesting news, but I suspect he now knows. I think the reason that Nicola Arzani is there, Nicola is one of the leading... Is he the head of communications at the ATP? He's
senior vice president of communications for the ATP, and obviously has known Yannick Sinner since he emerged onto the tour.
As a fellow Italian, yep. And so I think he will have told him, by the way, I think you need to know something. Djokovic has pulled out, so you will be world number one on Monday. And if he has said that, looking at Sinner has taken it, as with most things in life, in his stride. Oh, okay.
He's a very phlegmatic fellow, and we're going to hear from today's winner and the new world number one, Yannick Sinner. He'll be talking to Fabrice Santoro.
Mesdames et messieurs, une nouvelle ovation pour Yannick, qualifié pour sa première demi-finale de Roland Garros.
For Yannick, qualifies for the semi-finals of Roland Garros. I think the sentence is going to be completed.
Yannick, congratulations. You know Grigor very well. He's very talented. You were ready for a tough match today. I guess you're happy with your performance.
Yeah, very happy. I mean, we played against already a couple of times before, and we know what to expect. We played a final in Miami against, you know, it's always tough to play against him. He's such a great talent, nice guy. But the atmosphere as always has been amazing. It's a huge pleasure to play here on this court. So thanks everyone for coming out and staying. The My performance was very solid, especially the first two sets. Then I had a little bit of tension when I was serving for the match, but this is normal. This is tennis, and I'm very happy how I reacted later. So I'm happy to be in the semis.
There are not many one-hand backhand on the tour. You played three in this tournament. When you have this kind of player on the other side of the net, do you just play your game or you have to adapt your game?
No, I think against every player you have to play a little bit different. You have to adjust a little bit, for sure. When you play a little bit more against one guy, there can be a little bit different situations. But generally, I think it's nice for the game having one-handed backhands. It's you know, a better style, I guess. So, there are not so many left, so we have all to appreciate the one-handed backhands.
So now you are in the semi-final. Tonight at 8:30, you have two options. Either you go to the restaurant and relax, or you watch TV and follow the match between Carlos Alcaraz and Stefanos Tsitsipas. What kind of player are you? You going to watch the match?
Both. I can also go to the restaurant and watch it there. I like also to relax a little bit. I like also to watch tennis. It's a great matchup, so hopefully it's going to be a good match, which I'm quite sure that it is. And then I have a couple of days to prepare it, in the best possible way, the semis. And I'm looking forward to it, which is going to be a huge pleasure to step once again here on this court.
Last one. Yannick, I can't leave you without telling you one thing. Next Monday, at the age of 22 years old, you will become the first Italian ever to be number one in the world.
He's waving to the crowd now. Waving to the crowd, and I think he's clearly a little bit emotional here. He waits for the rest of the question.
What can I say? First of all, it's everyone's player's dream to become number one in the world. In the other way, seeing Novak retiring, and here I think it's for everyone disappointing. So I wish him a speedy recovery. I try to not think so much about this because this is a tournament where I used to struggle a lot, especially in the last two years. So I'm happy to be in the semifinals. I'm going to enjoy it. I will try to play my best tennis that I can. Thanks to my team that they make all this process possible, because without them it's impossible. And also without you guys, it's a huge... It's a special moment for me, and I'm very happy to share this all with you guys, all the guys who are watching at home, especially from Italy. And let's see Friday what I can do.
Once again, congratulations, mesdames et messieurs, Yannick Sinner.
Yeah, he gets 2 days off now. It's just the nature of having to, alternating days for each round. Eventually, you've got to bring them together. So he and the winner of tonight's match will have 2 days off. I suppose Casper Ruud will have 4 days off.
Yes, I'm sure, all the players feel for Novak Djokovic. They know that as a professional tennis player at any level, you're all at the whim of your body. And it's a matter of good fortune or bad fortune as to whether you can compete week in, week out. So I'm sure they all feel as human beings for Novak Djokovic, but... For Casper Ruud, Gigi Salmon's pick for the title, lest we forget, that is, obviously it's good news for him. It's terrible news for Novak Djokovic. One thing I think it's worth mentioning is that most of the time when players achieve a career ranking milestone, whether it's breaking into the top 100, top 10, or even world number one, they don't normally find out in the middle of a tournament. Or if they do, they don't normally have the opportunity to get that sort of reception and round of applause and be able to talk about it. It's usually, often those things happen when they're on a plane because the rankings,
or at home
or on a practice course,
because somebody loses early and they the rankings points from last year drop off and suddenly someone goes to the top.
Yes, it's usually a mathematical calculation, and they don't always get the opportunity to have that moment, and that is something for Jannik Sinner to cherish, to be able to have that standing ovation from the crowd here on court, Philippe Chatrier. And he's just walking off court now and being applauded again. He will go and sign a few autographs, of course, and then go and complete his television commitments.
I was in this city 8 years ago, 7.5 years ago, where there was a possibility at the Paris indoor tournament in Bercy in end of October, beginning of November, that Andy Murray might become a world number one. And he got through to the semi-finals, and had he beaten Milos Raonic in the semi-finals, he would become world number one. And the first semi-final was on court, and about early in the second set, there was suddenly an announcement: Milos Raonic is on his way to press conference. The code for that being he was pulling out, because there's only one reason why a player would come into press conference before their match, and that's that they were pulling out. So because he was pulling out, we found out that Murray was world number one by an announcement that Raonic was coming into press.
So it's quite it's usually just quite an anticlimactic event. And so I think that was lovely, that terrible obviously for Novak Djokovic, but lovely for Jannik Sinner that he got to enjoy that moment. Now, tomorrow's order of play is out.
Yes, which is missing a match now, because obviously there won't be the Djokovic against Rude.
They won't. So it opens at 11 o'clock on court, Philippe Chatrier, with actually some doubles legends. It's mixed doubles legends, Tatiana Golovin and Mansour Bahrami. Always very entertaining, against Andrea Petkovic and Henri Leconte. Following that will be the first of Wednesdays. I have to remember what day it is.
Tomorrow's Wednesday's
women's quarterfinals.
Yeah, which is the
Jasmina
third and fourth.
Paolini up against Yelena Rybakina. That is not before 1 p.m. local time. Following that will be Mira Andreeva against Arina Sabalenka. So the teenager up against the second seed. And then, as Chris Bowers rightly predicted, because he knows everything, it's Alexander Zverev against Alex Diminor in the evening session, not before 8:15 local time.
Yeah, and that's the last of the night sessions. That's not to say it's the last time we're going to have play in the evening, because we might have two long men's semis on Friday, but it's the last of the scheduled night sessions, and that will be Zverev's third successive night session.
Yes, 10 sets in those sessions. So he's certainly got experience of playing out here in the evening on court, Philippe Chatrier. But of course, we had the women's quarterfinals.
That's not quite correct, because his one against Griekspoor was the day session. It just finished
in the night,
in the evening,
as tennis matches are apt to do.
Well, tennis matches are getting longer.
They are. They certainly are.
And that's where the match earlier today, which we're going to hear before too long, between Goff and Jabeur, was so good, because they just got on with it. It was wonderful tennis, and they just got on with it. We'll come back to that in a few more minutes. But as we've got a few minutes now, are there any messages that we?
There are always messages, Chris. Always. Plenty of messages. We love your tweets and your emails, and we love it because our listeners really are the best of us here at Radio Roland Garros, and you're on fine form.
Our listeners are the extra commentator.
Well, absolutely, always. So sometimes, you know, especially as we get towards the business end of the tournament, we have less time, because we're focusing obviously on the tennis, we have less time to try and fit all of your interaction in, but we will always do our best. So Earl says, if a player has a problem with a particular chair umpire, can they request that umpire not work their match? And will the tournament heed that request?
Yes, they can request it, and most of the time the tournament will heed it. The most recent high-profile example was Carlos Bernardes Rafael Nadal took some exception to, I forget the actual incident, but Nadal said, I do not want that man umpiring my matches. I think eventually he did umpire Nadal's again.
It was at the ATP Finals, so Earls actually cited that as an example. And the other example he uses is, of course, Serena Williams and Carlos Ramos.
Well, Carlos Ramos never did another one after 2018. I have to say, this is a subjective opinion, but it is held by an awful lot of people. I felt Ramos did a great job that night. I thought he was absolutely spot on. I think Serena was in the wrong. You can argue that the rules were wrong, and obviously it wouldn't happen now because you can coach. That was how it all started. Had Serena's career gone on for longer, eventually I think somebody would have said to Serena, we're giving you Carlos for your match. You're just going to have to live with it. But they did not want... In tennis, they'd never want to make the umpires the story. And once you get something like that, it's just... There's no point in having an edge to a match that's to do with an umpire. So they just say, let's just keep the umpire away. Now, if a player's got an issue with five or six umpires, it becomes a problem. But I've never known that.
No, and for the most part, these are umpires. Remember that week in, week out, these players and these umpires are working together, interacting together. And it's worth remembering that most of the time, the umpires are right. They are trained. They know exactly what they're doing. They are also static, where a player is running around, not necessarily looking just at the line. An umpire or an official is staring at the line. That's all they're doing. So, and in the heat of the moment, sometimes players can get caught up in the emotion of it. And I think sometimes it's easier to blame everything else, all the external factors, and the officials being one of them.
Yeah, and most of the time the officials are older than the players, so they have a certain authority there. What's interesting, if you look at the professionalisation of tennis, we always talk about open tennis being 1968. That's when the players went open. But the administration of tennis didn't really go open until after the Wimbledon boycott of 73. And do you know when the first professional umpires came in? 1985. So there was that period from 68 to 85 when you had professional players being, you know, and the rules were enforced by amateur umpires. But the first professional umpires came in the mid-80s, and now everyone you see here at Slams is a professional umpire.
Kate says, thank you for the wonderful coverage. Listening to you every day from sunny Portugal. What a fabulous country, Kate. I missed the match with Iga today, but what another great result for her. What do you make of Iga's bakery? Why is it even hotter right now? Is it Iga? Is it her opponents? Or is it both?
I think a big part of that was the second round match against Osaka. I think that played her into some great form. Not that she wasn't in form. She won Madrid and Rome. But I think there's an element of getting out of jail. She won 20 straight games from the last game of her match against Marie Buzkova in the third round, the double bagel against Potapova in the fourth round, and the first seven games of her match today. It's just remarkable the way she played. But she was, as she said in her interview, she was in the zone.
Yes, I mean, Iga's bakery, if you're not familiar with it, it's a phrase that's come about because Swiatek is basically scoring more 6-love sets and indeed more 6-1 sets than any other player. So
the 6-love is the bagel and the 6-1 is the breadstick.
So it's that's the reference to the bakery. So just to put that in context, and this I will nod to a fantastic piece in The Athletic by Charlie Eccleshare, who's done a lot of research into this phenomenon of Iga's bakery. And 40.6% of her matches finish with either a 6-love or a 6-1 or both, which is extraordinary. The average is about 20.
Yeah, but doesn't she have more 6-love sets than she has 3-set matches?
I believe so. I mean, the statistics are extraordinary.
Yeah.
And you know, we're used sometimes to players being exceptionally good, but there is something about the emphatic way that Swiatek plays. I also think the speed at which she plays between points has a bearing. I think she hustles opponents, and I think she can be quite an overwhelming presence. And the better she gets and the more of these 6-love sets, the more likely it is that an opponent might start to feel overwhelmed if they go 2-love down. I think it all plays into each other.
I think that's right. It is particularly pronounced on clay. I mean, I keep expecting her to win more hard court slams, and I suspect she will. But she's just got the one at the moment, the US Open from 2022. The ironic thing is that although she was the girls' singles champion at Wimbledon, she goes to Wimbledon always, I think, with that feeling of, oh, it's a big adjustment. I've just played an awful lot on clay. I think she goes onto the grass with her mind tired. And in a way, I was sort of, when I was watching the Osaka match, I was thinking, you know, there's a part of me that would like Iga to lose just because she will take the grass more seriously.
Yes, I mean, I don't think it's that she doesn't take it seriously, but I don't think she has that feeling of being invulnerable that she has
on clay.
Yeah. Joseph says, actually, it's Sam. Sam, who always emails from an email that has Joseph in.
Yes.
It confuses me every time, so apologies, Sam. Last night's Zverev match was terrific. The wobbly commentary, wobbly, and the three-ring circus that went off the rails was fantastic fun. Well, thank you, Sam. Always appreciate your emails. Heather has liked to weigh in on the whether they're grey shorts or blue shorts debate, which has been raging here at Radio Roland Garros. Heather says, grey, just saying. Mari.
All right.
Mari has some context on this. She says, dear Eleanor and Chris, there's some evidence that in general, women and men may see colour differently and that more men are colourblind than women. Apart from that, all of us, to some extent, see colours in different ways depending on age, eye health, emotions, etc. Really enjoying the commentary as usual and really happy with the brand new number one, Marie in St. Kitts.
Well, thank you, Marie. And, I suppose if you look at men's and women's fashions over the years, which is when people choose colours... Generally speaking, I mean, it's interesting that smart wear for men tends to be suits, which are by and large, you know, black or grey or navy blue. Smart wear for women tends to be dresses or skirts and smart tops, which are, generally speaking, have much greater colour.
Yes, I mean, that might be slightly changing. I think the younger generation, you know, they dress a bit flashily.
They do. And the... slow demise of the tie means that the one scope for colour for men wearing smart outfits has gone. So maybe everybody will have Bud Collins's trousers at some stage.
The dear late great Bud Collins.
Bud Collins,
famous for his extraordinarily garish trousers.
Yes, he used to have to wear his sunglasses when Bud Collins was around in his trousers.
Luisa, who's always accompanied by Bronwyn the Spaniel, says, what is the faint rattle that keeps coming across the audio? Well, Luisa, it was the sound of the ropes rattling against the flagpoles above us. We're high up in Court Philippe Chatrier. As we said, it was a little bit breezier today, and that was that little tinkling sound that you could hear in the background.
Any more before we...
I think we're fine. Up to date.
Okay, well... that's all the live action for the next 2.5 hours. But we had a fantastic match earlier today, which we're going to relive now, which was the match between Coco Gauff and Ons Jabeur. Before we go to that one, I just need to say that this is my last shift on Radio Roland Garros for this year. So thank you for your company and for the company of everyone else. I will be around because I'm doing TV for the rest of the fortnight. But...
He gets stolen by TV from
us.
Yes. TV likes to come in, swoop in, steal Chris Bowers from us. And, you know, we protest every year, and every year they say, nope, he's ours now. So thank you, Chris. Thank you always for your knowledge and insights. It always adds something to Radio Roland Garros. And it's good to have somebody who, you know, keeps us on track sometimes.
it's just lovely to have this sort of club, community,
Family, chattering away,
and it's just great because we all love tennis, and we know that ultimately it's not the most important thing in the world. But hey, we need a bit of fun in our lives.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Welcome to Radio Roland Garros and the ninth session. We are getting ready for the big one, the big clash between Stefanos Tsitsipas and Carlos Alcaraz, a quarterfinal, a repeat of last year's quarterfinal when Alcaraz steamrolled Tsitsipas to get to the semis. But maybe this one will be different. The Greek has been playing some pretty good tennis. He knows that Alcaraz thinks he has the wood on him, as we say, but he has the key to beating him. But he has been, as we said, he's been in good form. He's not been wasting energy. And I think he wants to make a point. Simon Cambers and Courtney Walsh with you for this little build-up to the evening session. We won't be bringing it out. That's going to be in the hands of Gigi and Marcus. But for us, we will just do a little recap of what's happened so far today and then build up towards the match. Courtney, good evening. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Simon. Lovely day in Paris today, but what a dramatic day it turned out to be.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to tonight. It's amazing. You talk about him steamrolling Stefanos last year. I mean, we're going to get to this match a little later, but you think back to when they first met at the US Open not that long ago, 2021, and I thought, wow, this could be a great rivalry that was about to unfold 7-6 in the fifth as part of that... A pretty extraordinary US Open. Here we are, 3 years later, they're meeting again. Let's hope it's every bit as thrilling as what that one was 3 years ago in New York.
Yeah, it should be a really good encounter. As we said, Tsitsipas has a habit of getting involved in really long matches early on, but he's not done that this year. He has escaped any sort of brutal five-setters, and he's looked good. But so has Alcaraz. There were doubts about Alcaraz with his forearm injury coming in, but he's seemingly, certainly not in pain. Whether or not he's absolutely unloading on his forehand, maybe not, but maybe he's saving it up for Stefanos, his old mate, to dish out another hammering this evening. We will find out. But as Courtney Walsh alluded to, it has been a dramatic day here at Roland Garros today with the withdrawal of the defending champion, Novak Djokovic, after the knee injury that he suffered yesterday. We learned mid-afternoon today that Djokovic has suffered a tear of the medial meniscus in his right knee. We don't know the extent of it. We don't know the time frame for how long he's going to be out. But what we do know is that he's not going to be playing against Casper Ruud in the quarterfinals. So Ruud goes straight through to the semifinals. I mean, it was a shock when we found out, but then when you looked at what happened yesterday, maybe not so much.
It was one of those really interesting moments that you sometimes see at a Grand Slam tournament when you're in the fortunate position of being able to broadcast but also to write about it. And around 5 p.m., there was a massive, noise in the press room. There was people dashing around everywhere and you thought, ooh, something is up. It reminded me a little bit of what happened when Rafa Nadal pulled out of that third round match going back
with his wrist injury.
Going back a few years ago to think, yep, something's up. And we may have anticipated, based on what Novak had said last night, that he was going to have some troubles. He talked about using painkilling medication to get through the latter stages of his match against Cerundolo. And what a remarkable performance that is. And also a history-making performance because he won his 370th match at Grand Slam level. Incredible achievement. But it also turned out to be a major issue for him. Meniscuses are really tricky things. No doubt he'll have some surgery on that because...
Well, it depends, doesn't it? If it's only a small tear, then a surgery might not be the best option because reading up on this and also looking back at what happened with Roger Federer in 2016 when he had his operations... When you actually take away a bit of the meniscus, it means that it's going to degenerate over time. You want to keep it if you can. So sometimes actually doing an operation on a small tear is not a good idea, but we won't know that until the Djokovic camp tell us.
Well, that's exactly right. And look, the ramifications are everywhere. It has the immediate prospect of Casper Ruud therefore progressing to the semi-finals. He's a dual finalist here. He's played very, very well throughout this Grand Slam.
He'll be delighted.
Delighted. And he did say afterwards that on social media, wish Novak well, looked forward to seeing him on the grass court season.
Yeah.
Whether we see Novak in the grass court season. Novak is has spoken to on social media.
On Instagram.
Instagram and just said that it was a really tough decision. After careful consideration and consultation, they made the decision to pull out. He played with all his heart and gave everything in yesterday's